Welcome to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. On today's show...
How would you like to take one of filmmaker Ken Burns' American journeys?
If you leave town, you ever think about getting a babysitter for your house?
Today, we take you on a historic journey down Route 66 through some of America's most classic small towns.
Ah, folks, lucky us. There's now more than one way to get burned in Las Vegas.
All that and more coming up today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your kicks out on Route 66.
Welcome, everyone, to the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. It's a beautiful Sunday. I'm here in the studios, and of course, as you could tell, Mark is on a tin can and a piece of string strung all the way between here and Oklahoma City. Mark, where are you, and what are you doing?
We're out in the wilds of Oklahoma today, Tom, and we are headed. Our next stop is a little town called Eric, Oklahoma, and if some of the folks who are listening today remember a singer, a gentleman in the 1960s had a lot of hit records. One of them was King of the Road, Roger Miller.
Yep.
Perhaps we are. Our next stop is in Roger Miller's hometown, which is Eric, Oklahoma, just east of the Texas border.
Very cool. Where else are we going to visit over the next 50 minutes here in regards to cross of the Route 66?
Well, we started our journey about 10 days ago in Chicago, Tom. So today we are going to take folks to some of the little places that they maybe not haven't even heard of before. We're going to take them to Pontiac, Illinois. We're going to take them to Cuba, Missouri. And finally, we're going to take them to Stroud, Oklahoma. So I think those are probably some places that just maybe might not have popped up on people's radar anytime recently.
All right. This is the Travel Guys radio show. I'm Tom Romano along with Sports Leisure Vacations' Mark Hoffman on the road to Route 66. And as we do at the beginning of every program, we bring you up to date on what's new in the news in the world of travel. So here comes our travel music, our news music for the travel news. Dun 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 dun. Ladies and gentlemen, by way of string and tin can, Mark Hoffman.
Thank you, Tom. South Tours is creating itineraries to follow the works of documentary filmmaker Ken Burns. The two have signed a multi-year partnership to create Ken Burns' American Journeys. Talc is developing itineraries that revolve around the stories and themes of documentary series such as the national parks, the Civil War, baseball, and jazz. Sounds like fun. The Air Transport Association, also known as ATA, is opposing the refund of luggage fees if your bag is lost. Although the nation's top airlines collected more than $3.1 billion, that's a B as in billion, in luggage fees during the last 12 months, they are strongly opposed to the Department of Transportation's proposed mandate that all airlines offer refunds of the fees when bags are lost or delayed. The airlines are also opposed to refunding the fee because they say this will raise the fares for everyone.
I don't get this.
I don't either. This is sometimes you hear some insane things from industry spokespeople groups like this, but the ATA this time has really got it. Are they saying that if they lose or delay too many bags, that $3.1 billion won't be able to cover it? Are they afraid that they'll have to pay out more than they took in?
So they charge you for the extra luggage, and then if you lose the bag, they keep the money and they keep the bag.
They keep the money, and you know, when your bag gets there, it gets there. Alaska Airlines is the only airline that offers an automatic refund if your bag is lost or delayed. In fact, they offer a refund if your bag isn't delivered within a specified period of time at the luggage claim. But most major airlines will consider refunding your bag fee only after you file a claim, and the refund will usually come in the form of a discount on future travel. So in other words, in order to get your money back, you have to now turn around and buy another ticket on the airline that screwed up your suitcase, your luggage the last time. The ATA said a refund wouldn't work. This is classic, Tom, because the requirement for, quote, timely delivered bags is, quote, a subjective standard and would not account for varying conditions.
No, I feel that the ATA who is in charge of this, I think this is not going to fly, so to speak.
The Air Transport Association, which basically is the association that represents all of the major air carriers. And can you imagine, you're going to pay people for this service, they don't perform, and then you have no recourse. And they're trying to explain that it will raise everyone's it's insanity. While we're on the subject of airline fees, one of the most irritating fees airline travelers face is change of reservation fees. You want to switch flights, there's a fee for that. And Delta Airlines led the pack in collecting change fees for the last quarter. Now, remember, now this is only for 3 months. Delta collected, are you ready, $181 million in change fees.
Wow. You know what? They must have taken their lead from, remember those companies that you used to go and rent videos from, and when they were late, they would charge you?
Exactly. Yeah, that's just for a quarter. American Airlines collected $121 million. United collected $83 million, of which at least part of that was mine. Those numbers are for one quarter. All in all, major U.S. airlines brought in a total of $594 million in fees, collecting from those changing their reservations in only a three-month period. In the area of miscellaneous fee collection, including those beloved baggage fees, mm-hmm. buy-on-board meals, premium coach seat upgrades, etc., Delta Airlines tops out against all the other airlines, having collected, and this is, again, just one quarter, $681 million in fees.
Wow, it's crazy money that you can make for actually not doing anything.
In the second quarter, the airlines collected over $2 billion. And then the question is, who earns the most passenger ticket revenue per mile? The answer to that question, Southwest Airlines, because they are, of course, the one airline that charges the fewest fees. And so they have to get it from the ticket. So if you want to know what your airline ticket is really going to cost, I would suggest you go to southwest.com. Look at the fare there, and you'll have a pretty good idea of exactly what you're going to pay to get on the airplane.
There you go.
The U.S. Congress has delayed a vote on lifting the travel ban to Cuba. The House Foreign Affairs Committee postponed the vote on a measure that would abolish the current ban to travel to Cuba. The committee chair said there was no time to allow a debate and vote. The bill is stuck in committee and will remain there until at least after the November election.
And we are not talking about Cuba, Missouri either.
We are not talking about Cuba, Missouri. That comes up in the second half of today's program.
Okay.
And finally, as Tom alluded to in the opening headlines,
yes.
The Las Vegas hotel guests are getting burned in a new way, this time by a death ray. Guests at the new Federa Hotel in Las Vegas have complained of receiving severe burns from a death ray of sunlight caused by the unique design of the building. Due to the concave shape of the Federa Hotel, the strong Nevada sun reflects off its all-glass front and directly onto sections of the swimming pool area below.
Now, I think what they do is they know what those areas are, and you'll go there and they will find them marked off with orange tape, and they will charge you extra to get the quick tan.
The result has left some guests with burns from the powerful rays, and even plastic bags have been recorded as melting in the heat. Some of those trying to sunbathe at the swimming pool have had to run for cover to escape the intense heat. Gordon Absher, a spokesman for MGM Resorts, which owns the Federa Hotel, said they were aware of the issue and designers were working with resort staff to come up with a solution. In fact, it's claimed that the designers foresaw the issue with the reflecting sun, but thought they had solved it by installing a high-tech film on the south-facing panes of glass. As the Earth rotates, the spot moves across the pool area. The death ray can increase temperatures by around 20 degrees. While designers work on fixing the problem, the hotel is looking at getting some larger and, crucially, thicker umbrellas to provide better shade for guests. Finally, California state-issued debit cards are being used on cruise ships. The investigative story in the Los Angeles Times showed that state-issued welfare debit cards had been used on cruise ships and at casinos across the country to withdraw millions of dollars of benefits at vacation spots. The state put a stop to these practices this past Monday. California's Department of Social Services discovered that more than $69 million targeted at helping the needy pay their rent and clothe their children was accessed by debit card use in 49 other states, the Virgin Islands, and Guam between January of 2007 and May of this year.
And that's your travel news from the travel guy, Mark Hoffman, on News Talk 1530 KFVK. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, Mark, where are we headed next on the travel guys?
Coming up next on the program, if you'd like to travel a lot, maybe you're a single person or you'd like to travel with your spouse, you're leaving your home, perhaps your pet's unattended, we have somebody who can help you with that. And then in the second part of our program today, we are going to take you on a journey, city by city, state by state, to some of the most classic small towns in America on the main street of America, Historic Route 66.
It's all coming up on the only travel show in Sacramento. It's the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. You're listening to the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And if you travel much and you have to leave home, we've got a guest on the line that just may have a service that you could take advantage of. It's very interesting. Mark, who's our guest?
Jeannie Siebert is on the line. Is that right, Jeannie?
Yep, Jeannie Siebert.
Jeannie Siebert, okay. And Jeannie has a home management service.
I could use managing a
home. Well, yes, but you're not a traveler. You have to be here at KFBK. I'm sure that Jeannie has services that would help you. But Jeannie, specifically for folks who might be traveling and in need of somebody to look after their home, take care of their pets, look after their husband, etc., tell us what your home management service can do for them.
Okay, along with our housekeeping organization services, we also provide home sitting and some pet sitting and also water people's plants. You know, make sure everything's, you know, when we have the hot heat, make sure everything's okay. Check on the mail, you know, open and close drapes. Help people set up their timers if they'd like to have their lights come, you know, off and on while they're gone.
Take in the newspaper if you're still having it delivered.
That's right. Kind of just, you know, keep an eye out on your home and make sure that it's, you know, just kind of moving along nicely while you're off enjoying your vacation.
Well, a lot of people will, you know, get a neighbor kid or maybe a relative to stop in. But if they don't have someone like that, this seems like a perfect service. As a rule, if somebody's gone like for a couple of weeks, how often do you come by? And do you have any limitations on things that you don't do, Jeannie?
Well, you know, it's really, you know, we provide personalized service, so the best thing is for someone who's interested would be to kind of give us a call and let us know what their situation is, you know, if perhaps one time a day is enough to visit or they don't need everyday visits at their home. It's just best to give us a call, tell us what their needs are, and as I like to say, we're problem solvers, figure out a solution.
Well, I can definitely tell you I'm going to need you whenever I go. It's always who's going to let the dog out twice a day.
And Jeannie, one thing we should point out here, and really the purpose of our conversation today, besides allowing you to get a plug-in for your company, is to explain to people the importance, as Tom was saying, if you've got a next-door neighbor kid or your sister lives down the street or something like that, somebody that you absolutely implicitly trust or can threaten to come over and take care of things, that's one thing. But if you're someone who doesn't have someone like that, then it's very important that you get someone, if you're going out to the phone book or to Google somebody, that you get somebody who has met some certain requirements.
That's right.
Yeah, you're licensed and bonded. Is there that kind of thing, Jeannie, for this kind of service?
Correct. You want to look for somebody that, you know, has a business license, that has a bond. You know, you also often want to ask about references, past clients.
Yes.
And a fourth thing I'd like to add is, and we sometimes forget about this, is really when you meet the person, what is your own gut feeling about them? Your home is your sanctuary, and I always like to tell clients or, you know, people I'm just meeting that you shouldn't allow anyone into your home that you're not comfortable with having in your home. So I'd like to say, you know what, those four things, license, bonded, references, and just kind of, you know, how your instincts are, how you feel about that person.
What area do you provide service to? Do you have a radius, if you will?
You know, we're in the greater Sacramento region and also Stockton and Lodi.
Okay.
Wow, so you got pretty much all over the greater Sacramento area. Now, Jeannie has a website, and of course, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have all this information posted for you there. Or Jeannie has a website also, clearpathhomekeeping.com. travelguysradio.com. Or, again, you can go to Travel Guys Radio and find out about Jeannie's home management service so that the next time that you are headed out on the road, you can have somebody come and take care of your home, your pets, make sure that everything is secure while you are out seeing the country.
Sounds good to me.
Do you have a phone number, Jeannie, you want to give out?
Yes, I do. My cell number, the best way to contact me, is 916-704-3518. And if I'm with a client, please just leave a message, and I'll return the call as soon as I can.
Sounds great. Or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have that information posted for you there. Jeannie, thank you for joining us this afternoon on the Travel Guys.
Well, thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Travel Guys. This is Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And you know, Tom, it's been a while since we've talked about that big build going on out there in the Natomas area.
Certainly have, Mark. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. If you've been out and traveled recently, every time you go, the look is different. What again was the finish date on this?
They're set for completion in the fourth quarter of next year.
Now, I know you've talked to a few people that are in the know as to what's going on with the build. What is, give me an update.
Well, they are on time. In fact, if you talk to the guys out at the site, they will tell you that they are perhaps even just slightly ahead of time. They kind of hedge their bets a little bit. I sense that they might be a little bit ahead and wanting to give themselves a little bit of a leeway, a little bit of cushion. The new terminal, though, is going to be a whole new experience, obviously, with a people mover and an arrival side, and you will actually be able to get food without going through security and all kinds of normal things at other airports. Passenger and people who pick up and greet passengers, amenities that we don't have currently.
Well, that'll be great. And I know that when we spoke with the spokesperson from the airport last time, they were talking about making some decisions on the restaurants and the eateries that are going to be on board. Have you got any ideas? Has there been any names thrown around yet?
Well, they have 42,000 square feet for concessions, so that is a lot more area than has ever been dedicated to concessions, even in the new terminal. And they have taken packaged bids from several, and many of the bids include some local eateries like Urban Jack's and Paragary's and some of the other favorites around town. So there sounds like a good possibility that our new airport is going to look a little bit more like Sacramento and a little bit less like a chain restaurant. So that would be a nice thing.
Have you noticed from all the travels that you do, have you noticed that things are improving in regards to the construction getting in the way of travelers? Or is it still about the same? Last time we spoke, you were advising, I think, bumped it up to, you know, a good half hour or more early to get around the areas.
And we were talking about summer travel there. Now we're into the fall, which is traditionally a little bit slower travel time. Between now and Thanksgiving should be a little bit easier out at the airport. Some of the summer flights that were put on added capacity have been taken back off now. And so those schedules changed last weekend. So the airport is a little bit quieter than it had been, so you don't have quite as much necessity. You still have only one entrance to both terminals, so you still have to take into consideration the fact that it's going to take you a little longer to pick people up and drop people off. And if you're parking your own car out there, you've only got one parking lot, well, and the long-term lot to choose from. So, again, you still need to allow yourself a little bit of time. It's amazing. We were out there, Tom, seeing a group off a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and for some reason it was just very busy that morning, and all I heard from everybody is, it's never this busy. There's never a line like this. And I just kept thinking to myself, well, you know, if you'd have just given yourself an extra 20 minutes, then this none of this would be an issue for you. And instead, folks are worrying about getting to their airplanes and running down in the concourse and stuff like that. So it really is, for any air travel, figure out what you need and add an extra 15 or 20 minutes. But in Sacramento right now, it's extra important, even if you're meeting someone. Because if someone is coming in by plane, give yourself plenty of time. Go out there, park in the cell phone lot, wait until they call you. That way you don't have to be out driving around the terminal in circles or being run off by a policeman out there. Lord knows they do not want you, you know, in case anybody hasn't picked up on it. Police officers are not going to let you park in front of an airline terminal post 9/11.
There you go. Okay. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And after the break, we're going to fire up the Travel Guys transporter. Right, Mark?
We we are going to take you on a ride down Route 66, the main street of America, the Mother Road, as it's known, and tell you some very interesting things, including how the old highway is tied into a modern classic animated movie. All of that and more as we take a journey down Route 66 with Mark and Tom on the Travel Guys right after the news. You're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Welcome to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Sports Leisure Vacations' Mark Hoffman. And now for the next half hour, we're going to fire up the Travel Guys location displacement machine, which is going to transport us all to somewhere along Route 66 and meet up with Mark Hoffman. Let's fire it up now. Mark, where are you?
Tom, I'm joined by noted Route 66 historian, author, and preservationist, John Weiss. John and I are right now sitting in the old Log Cabin Cafe, which is in itself a Route 66 landmark.
Well, the old Log Cabin is one of the places that everybody should stop at in Illinois because it still has the character that everybody is seeking, small-town American character with the knotty pine and the farmer's cups hanging on the wall. You don't find places like this very much.
It kind of looks like that might be a liar's table over there in a corner. Almost every small town has one of those.
Yeah, as long as it's a round table.
Yeah.
Never a square table. Always a round table, yes.
Yeah, and usually at just about any time of the day, right now there's a couple guys over there, and at any time there's usually a few people over there solving the world's problems at any given moment in time. And this particular attraction on 60 John has a little bit of a story behind it.
Well, you know, years ago, the old log cabin was going very strong, and the traffic was so darn heavy that they had to build a bypass kind of around town. And when they did that, the restaurant all of a sudden was, the back of it was facing the new highway. This wasn't very attractive. It wasn't very practical. So they put their heads together in the old kind of style, and they says, let's do something about it. So one Sunday morning, they got some jacks, and the whole family got in. They jacked up the building, got some horses, turned it around, and now it's facing this way and facing the highway, and that's the American ingenuity that we love on Route 66.
why build a new building when you can take the old one and turn it around? John, you've been involved in a lot of preservation projects on this part of 66. Tell me, where does the passion for preserving a piece of history come from?
You know, when you save a piece of history, it gives people, not just me, but people, the visitors from around the world, the chance to feel, taste, touch, experience what this is all about. If you ask anybody, especially from the foreign countries, they say they want the real Americana. Well, if we don't preserve the symbols of Route 66, these little bridges and gas stations and just various structures, there wouldn't be any old-time Americana. And so it certainly helps tourism dollars. But what a wonderful feeling to be able to see people using their imagination to experience nostalgia in the way it should be. And sometimes people can't understand it, so you have to come and do it. And at the end of it, you'll say, wow, that was quite an experience.
And speaking of tourism dollars, we're about to head into the little town of Pontiac, Illinois. Tourism has revived in Pontiac in the last 10 years or so, and with new museums and murals on the sides of buildings, and they've really turned it into a small town that you can't not stop in.
If you don't stop here, you're missing what 66 is all about, because the story is being told here. But at the same time, what pleases one person doesn't necessarily please everybody. So that's why they have a nice variety, the murals. They have a Wall Dog Museum, which is a mural museum. We have a war museum, the Route 66 Museum, 1,000 original artifacts put in an elevator for the people. We have a preservation display. We have a radio display, a photo display, and that's just a sample of everything that's here in Pontiac. And everything is free.
Mark Hoffman with John Weiss along historic Route 66 in the land of Lincoln in rural Illinois. Now back to Sacramento.
Thanks, Mark. We're back here in Sacramento at News Talk 1530 KFBK. You're listening to the Travel Guys, and we are, well, making our way down Route 66, and it's time to, change locations, fire up the transporter here, and join up with Mark at another location. Mark, where are we this time?
Tom, I'm here with Jane Reed. We're in Cuba, Missouri. Some people probably have never heard of Cuba, Missouri, but they're about to now. And we're right next to the world's largest rocking chair, which is only one of several attractions here in Cuba on Route 66. And so, Jane, tell us a little bit about some of the things that there are to do in Cuba on Route 66.
Okay, well, we like to call it our 6 miles on Route 66. Of course, you ate at the Mohick Barbecue today. And next to that is the 75-year-old Wagon Wheel Motel with its famous neon sign. And it got a new owner last year, and she is restoring the whole thing. And it's built out of native Ozark stone by Leo Frisnahan, who was a local craftsman.
Now, for folks who haven't been on Route 66 or haven't driven through Missouri, this is just off of Interstate 44, actually.
Exactly.
It's reasonably accessible. And this old hotel is really a classic, and it's pretty rare for one of these properties to fall in as much disrepair as this one did and now be revived. Not only that, with a beautiful gift shop out front, and the Missouri Hick Barbecue is right next door. It's just about anything and anybody could need for sustenance. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's very convenient for folks, and every room is decorated differently, so it has that 1930s, 40s, 50s Route 66 authentic experience, but with all new bathrooms and bedding, which we all would like to have too. And after you stay at the motel, then you can come into Cuba, and we have 12 outdoor murals all over town. You can pick up a brochure at the Wagon Wheel or other places in town.
Now, the murals, that's a fairly new thing here in Cuba. In recent years, that those have gone up on the sides of buildings, and really they depict a lot of historic local events.
Local history also tells about the visit of Betty Davis, Harry Truman, Amelia Earhart to Cuba. We started in 2001. We finished that project in 2007. But you will find murals all over town that businesses have commissioned privately and put up. And so we've really become known for our art here in Cuba, Missouri, even though there's only 3,500 people in the town. And after you look at the murals, we have some other good places to eat. We have some historic buildings. You can come out to the world's largest rocking chair, which has been designated that by the Guinness World Records people. And it's also an archery complex. There's lots of Route 66 memorabilia and souvenirs inside.
Now, Jane, I got to tell you that having come down this highway for the last 16 years, bringing groups of folks on it and traveling on it myself in preparation for those groups, and I've kind of watched the evolution of Cuba as a Route 66 city. But as you mentioned, you've always kind of embraced that heritage, and now you've become a destination on this old highway.
That's right.
There's so many neat little things to do here that even if you weren't traveling on Route 66 and you were just heading down the interstate, you would do yourself a disfavor by not taking a little bit of time to stop in this beautiful city. It's amazing what you've done in this town.
That's right, and we're very proud of our town, and we have a very nice visitor center out on the I-44 on the highway, so if you're coming down I-44, you can stop there and go to the visitor center to get some information, but you can also stop along Route 66 and ask people, and they'll say, have you been to the Rocker? They'll say, have you seen the Wagon Wheel? Have you seen the murals? So we're all kind of proud of that stuff.
And not to mention that Merrimack Caverns and the Jesse James Museum are just up the road.
They are just up the road. And then Rolla, they have their mini Stonehenge on the other side of us. So,
authentic Route 66 attractions alongside the road. Jane, for folks who would like to have more information on Cuba, you have a website?
We do. It's cubamomurals.com. Cuba, C-U-B-A, M-O for Mo, and then murals, M-U-R-A-L-S. It's all one word, small letters, .com. And we have a website. We have a blog associated with that. You can see pictures of all our murals. And on the blog, you'll find out about our attractions. There's various attractions that have a blog.
And you don't have to wait to travel to Cuba until the government approves it. You can come to Cuba, Missouri right now.
Absolutely. You come to Cuba, Missouri, and we'll give you the authentic experience right here.
Thank you, Jane. Tom, that's the update from Cuba, Missouri. Back to Sacramento.
All righty. Take a short break, and we'll continue our trip with the transporter and Mark Hoffman along Route 66. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530, KFBK. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. I'm Tom Romano along with Sports Leisure Vacations' Mark Hoffman. And we're on a road trip, yes, by way of our Travel Guys transporter to Route 66. Let's check in at our next destination with Mark on the road in Oklahoma. Mark, come in.
Tom, I'm here on historic Mother Road on the main street of America in Oklahoma with Carol Jordan, tour guide extraordinaire. And it's a beautiful sunny day in Oklahoma. And I'm here with my favorite tour guide in my favorite part on my favorite highway. Hi, Carol.
Hello. How are you, Mark?
It's wonderful to be here with you. Tell us a little bit about Route 66 through Oklahoma.
Well, first of all, we can boast that we have 396 miles of navigable Route 66, which is more than any of the other seven states involved in Route 66.
Now, a lot of folks might think that this old highway is just in ruin by the side of the road, but the truth of the matter is that it's not, and it's especially not in Oklahoma.
No, it isn't. It's located, of course, in the heartland, and people have been to the East Coast and the West Coast, and they're traveling now back into the heartland. And nothing is more nostalgic than Route 66, and it's very well kept up here. And, Mark, the signage is getting better every year. There's a lot of things here that are free and unusual and unique, and it's a great place to take your family, even for a Sunday afternoon drive.
Now, yesterday we spent a lot of time in Claremore, Oklahoma, which is kind of the adopted hometown of Will Rogers.
It was, and he actually was born near Ulaga, but like you said, he had enough problems without dragging the word Ulaga along. So he said it was Claremore, and Claremore is still very much Will Rogers' town. It has a Will Rogers Hotel, Will Rogers Boulevard, all of the sculptures along the center of the streets are of Will Rogers. It was the very first museum built in this part of the state in 1938.
It's a beautiful museum. I mean, we spent 2 hours there, and really and truly, you need that much time just to be able to see the exhibits there.
You do, and it's done very well. It's actually built on the site of land that Will bought himself back in 1911 because he planned at that time to make it his retirement home. So it has a special meaning. Also, this group got to eat in the lodge that was built in 1938. But it was built specifically for the Rogers family, and the grandson still comes there and visits it about every 3 months. So Mark's group was special this
year. That was really a wonderful treat, Carol. And yesterday we were seeing other Route 66 icons like cement totem poles and blue whales.
Okay, and Ed Galloway, who was really proud of the Native American culture, built this totem pole as a tribute to them. Now, he actually worked for a boys' home for many years in woodworking, and he built a 11-sided building called the Fiddle House, and he made beautiful fiddles, of course, non-functional, out of all kinds of woods that the boys would send him from all over the world. He actually built a totem pole out of concrete and steel. It's 90 feet tall, and on the top of it, it has four different Indians, and they're 9 feet tall. It's very, very colorful, and I know the only totem pole like it in America.
Now, Carol, in a lot of Oklahomans ended up in California, particularly in Southern California, because in the Dust Bowl era, as some folks will know who read John Steinbeck's book, Grapes of Wrath, many Oklahomans came on Route 66 to California, where they picked up a nickname that wasn't necessarily used in a positive connotation, although it has a little, and I'm speaking of the word Okey, and yet you don't mind being called an Okey. Tell me a little bit about that word and how it's evolved over the years.
Okay, well, we use the term Okey with great pride today, but several years back, right, especially after 1939, when Steinbeck used the Oklahomans as an example of what was going on to the people that were fleeing the Midwestern states to go to California, to the land of milk and honey, I might add, he actually, he wrote in his book about the Okies, and they were poor, and they were ignorant, and they didn't have much hygiene, and they weren't an example of the wholesome American family back at that time. However, after the Okies read the book, they thought, well, how nice it is that they're mentioning the Okies, but then it got to be such a derogatory term, and anything that was not living up to their best, or you might say traveling west at that time, they called them an Okey. So we were so downhearted about that we actually banned Steinbeck's book, The Grapes of Wrath, for 10 years. Now, if you call somebody an Okey, we're very proud of that term.
So it's kind of come full circle.
It has. It definitely has. I'm proud to be an Okey.
Carol, what would you say is, if somebody had to ask you, what's the single thing that most draws people to this old highway in Oklahoma?
I think that people come to, it's sort of a remembered tour, when life was simpler. You didn't have to have a lot of money to travel up and down the highway. You still don't have to have a lot today if you're out taking a Sunday afternoon ride, because many of the things are free. And I don't know, it's just a time when life was slower. Actually, the Route 66 tours are just really laid back. It's just so far away from what we live with every day, like rush, rush, rush. It's a wonderful tour.
Tom, we're here in rural Oklahoma. I'm here with Carol Jordan, tour guide extraordinaire. We are going to go back to you, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Dawn at the Rock Cafe, another historic spot right here on Route 66, the main street of America. This is Mark Hoffman for the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFPK.
Thanks, Mark. We're here in the studios of News Talk 1530 KFPK. It's the Travel Guys, and by use of the Travel Guys transporter, we're going to do a little fantasy trip to our next location, the Rock Cafe, with Mark Hoffman. Mark?
Tom, I'm here in Stroud, Oklahoma, at the famous Rock Cafe with Dawn Welch, the owner of the cafe, and a somewhat famous celebrity in these parts. Dawn, tell us a little bit about this historic 70-year-old cafe that you own here.
Well, it's got its own personality, and I, you know, love working in the building. Every day is a new treat to come to work. It's, you know, just something new all the time.
And you've been here 17 years now?
Yes, I've been here 17 years, and in May of 08, the business completely burned down. And, you know, we delicately restored it to its previous.
And for those roadies who have been out on Route 66 before and have seen the Rock Cafe, you need to come back, because everything is different now except for maybe the fireplace and the grill. Tell us about the grill that's in this old cafe here.
The grill is 70 years old. It's original to the building. It's the anchor of the flavor of the Rock Cafe. And, you know, it's an old Wolf grill. It's, you know, just got amazing building.
So what makes an old grill special? If for folks out there, I mean, all of us that are in search of the perfect burger on the road, and I just had one here. So what is it that makes the grill special?
Well, you know, in the older days, they just built things so much better, and it's actually got a lot of features on it that you know, grills today don't have on them. And, you know, of course, the flavor can't hurt over 70 years of.
Yeah, it's the fact that it's been through a. Not only has it been fired up a few times,
yes,
but it's been through a fire.
Yes, it did.
Dawn, you and the cafe here played a role in the Pixar Disney picture Cars, which I understand we're going to perhaps see a sequel too soon. Tell us a little bit about that.
About the sequel,
about the
Cars?
The original movie.
The original movie. I was contacted, you know, and I can't remember. I think it was about 2000 is when I started, or 1999 is when I started talking to Pixar about the movie Cars. I didn't know at the time the name of the movie, but I did know that they were making a movie about Route 66. And, you know, I started talking with them at that point, and over the years, over a period of 4 years, became the character Sally.
And the Disney folks came out literally on Route 66 and discovered all of these characters and places, and many people may not know that the characters, the buildings, the just about everything that's in that movie is based on something that they saw somewhere along this old highway.
Yes, Pixar is very detail oriented. For example, they told me they took their Finding Nemo crew out to the Bahamas to scuba dive for several weeks while they were making the movie Nemo. So, as well, they did the same thing on Route 66, and they are big believers in getting people out there, you know, in elements to, you know, actual elements to see and make movies.
So how is business on the main street of America?
Business is great. It's, you know, we've had glorious years. Every year gets better. And, you know, we're just lucky to be here.
So there's no recession on, not at the Rock Cafe and on Route 66.
No, I've said for the last couple of years that when the recession is over, I may be in big trouble. I'm not sure how I'll handle the business.
Well, at least we have more seats than we used to here at the Rock. It's a pleasure to be back, Dawn, and thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today.
Thank you so much for coming.
Tom from the Rock Cafe in Stroud, Oklahoma. We're on Route 66.